Good morning, everyone. My name's Lee. A special welcome to you if you're new or visiting us today, and for you guys on the live stream. Please keep your Bibles open to Genesis 41. I'd love it if you would look with me at those verses as we went through this passage. Alrighty, so in so many aspects of our day-to-day lives, we have a role to play. At work, you probably have a specific role. In your sport team, you probably have a role. When I played one season of netball, my role was wing defense. In your home, when dinner is being prepared, your role might be the cooker or the preparer or the table setter or the one who tells everyone dinner is ready or the eater or the cleaner or all of those things. Yes. Yep. When you go on a road trip with friends or family, you might be the driver or the navigator or the one who makes sure that the music is just right for that moment of the trip, or you might be the one who makes sure that everyone's getting snacks and is well fed and is not cranky. When I was at school, I don't know who gave me this role. Some say it was self-assigned, but I had the role of class clown. My role was to make other kids laugh and to make other kids look like model students. My role was to give teachers an opportunity to show how good they were at teaching naughty children. I guess my role was more like class hero. We all have different roles to play in different areas of our life. But in the big scheme of things, what is our role in this life? What is your role? Is it just to make sure that we're enjoying life, that our lives are comfortable for us? When I wrote that, I thought that sounds pretty selfish. But if I'm honest, my main concern is often to make sure Lee Zadro's life is going well. But in all I do, in each of my roles that I have in my life as a dad, as a husband, at work, in my community, as a friend, what is my core role? What is your main purpose in this life? What is your main role? Well, as a Christian, I believe this is God's world. And so what God says our role is as a person in this world is crucial. Maybe you've never considered this, or maybe you just don't care, that God has a role for you in his world. Maybe the church or Christians have told you, you have no place in what God is doing. Maybe you've convinced yourself of this. Maybe because of the things you've thought or said or done or been through, you think God's got no place for you. Today, I want you to know that you do have a place in God's world, in God's plan. You have a role, and I want you to know what it is. Okay, but what is God's plan?
Is that
cool? What is God's plan? Well, back in Genesis 12, God said that through Abraham's family, God was going to bless all peoples. God's plan is to bless humanity. And in the story of Joseph, which we just read, we get a glimpse, an incredibly significant glimpse of God using his people, Abraham's great-grandson Joseph, to bless humanity. He feeds the world. Joseph tells Pharaoh that his dreams, if you look at verse 29, they point to 7 years of great abundance, followed by 7 years of severe famine. He brings clarity to Pharaoh's troubling dreams, and Joseph ends up being the leader under Pharaoh who feeds Egypt and the surrounding nations during this famine. But this is not the extent of God blessing humanity. Joseph isn't God's ultimate blesser. God sent his son, not to satisfy people's temporary physical hunger, but their eternal spiritual hunger. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty." So what is my role? What is your role in God's plan to bless humanity? Firstly, it's to come. To come to Jesus. First and foremost, we are not Joseph in this story. That's our first reaction. We read a story like this. How can I be like Joseph? We are not Joseph. Joseph is like Jesus, and we are the starving Egyptians. We are spiritually hungry and thirsty. We don't need to look far. We don't need to watch the TV for too long to realize we live in a broken world. There are so many distressing and pressing issues facing us. COVID, cyber sex trafficking, poverty, domestic violence, corruption, and so much more. The point is, we are not okay. We are not okay. And all of this is deeply distressing to God. I despaired over one story of a girl who was a victim of cyber sex trafficking. And I don't even know her. She isn't my daughter or my sister or friend or cousin. Can we begin to imagine the hurt and pain that God feels as the people he made and loves, his children, each one so precious to him, suffers through all of these things. He sees it all. And still, not to make light of any of those things that are so distressing, Jesus said, "I have come to call sinners to repentance. I have come to seek and save the lost." What causes Jesus' deepest anguish? That we would be lost to him forever. Why did he willingly suffer crucifixion? Because the pain of you not being with him in eternity would be a greater pain. He came to forgive our sin. Jesus came to deal with the root of all problems. Sin, the barrier that stands between us and God. And so when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls." Come. Come to Jesus. There is a famine in your soul that only Jesus can satisfy. And maybe today is the day for you to come. Maybe you've been coming to church for a little while or a long while, and it's great. Church is not your salvation, though. You need to come to Jesus. If you haven't come to Jesus, to his forgiveness, you are desperate for him, hungry for him, starving for God himself. If that's you, then come and know that he will not turn you away. There is no limit to the store of Jesus' forgiveness. In verse 49, you can look in your Bibles, we read that Joseph's store of grain was beyond measure. But the store of God's love for sinners like you and me in Jesus is even greater still. This hunger in your soul, this deep dissatisfaction within you, You will never be satisfied by owning the dream home, by that next purchase, by pursuing and finding that perfect relationship, by looking a certain way. The best getting these things do for us is to show us that they fail us, that we're still hungry, that only Jesus can satisfy. Our role, first and foremost, in God's plan to bless humanity is to be humanity, is to come to Jesus and receive his blessing. Second, though, this story of Joseph's rise from prison to royalty gives us more to consider. Once we receive God's blessing, we have a role in pointing others to it. The first thing Joseph says in verse 16, have a look at verse 16. He's been in prison for 10 plus years now. He's finally been released from prison, and he's summoned before Pharaoh to interpret these dreams. He stands before the Pharaoh, who could send him back to prison, who could have him executed like the baker. And the first thing he says to Pharaoh is, "I cannot do it. I'm useless." Are you crazy, Joseph? Imagine this is you. Imagine it's your big moment, the dream job, the dream opportunity. You're in the interview room. Everyone has been talking you up. You're the person for this role, this job. And you say, "I can't do it." He's crazy. But then he says in verse 16, "God will give you the answer." And so Pharaoh tells him his dreams. And again, verse 25, Joseph says, "God has revealed to Pharaoh." And verse 28, "God has shown Pharaoh." And verse 32, "This is from God." And the crazy thing is, Pharaoh starts to echo Joseph's words. Pharaoh was he had godlike status in Egypt. He was worshipped. But he says in verse 38, "Can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And verse 29, or verse 39, "God has made all this known to you, Joseph." It's God. Joseph points Pharaoh to God. He basically tells Pharaoh, "It's all God, it's not me." And we see this later in verses 51 and 52 when he names his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, whose names mean, "God has made me forget all my trouble, and God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Our role as recipients of God's love and forgiveness is to point others to Jesus. It's all God. Obviously, this means telling people about Jesus and what he's done for them. That is our role. It means stressing to people that God loves them. As D.T. Niles famously said, you probably know this quote, "We are one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread." If you've come to Jesus, the bread of life, then share that with others. It's also realizing that we are not the hero. So with writing letters to the Compassion Children that you sponsor, you are not to be their hero. So write about and point them to Jesus. As a parent, how often do we tell our kids that we are the hero? Well, we probably don't say it like that. But we worked hard to get this house, to send you to this school, to give you this life. Don't say that. Give glory to God. Keep drumming it into them that all you have is from God. Show and tell your kids that they need Jesus way more than they need you or anything else in this life. What's our role in God's plan to bless humanity? First and foremost, it's to receive God's blessing. his salvation through Jesus, and then it's to point others to it. But there is a danger here. There's a danger that we focus so much on sharing this with others that we forget to share it with ourselves, that we move on from being moved by God's grace to us, that we ignore our own hunger pains for God, that we're feeding on the empty things of this life while telling others they need Jesus. Thirdly and finally, our role as someone who has received God's blessing, received eternal life through Jesus' forgiveness, is to be a blessing to the world around us. I hope you can read that. Okay. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or the church of God, Christians and non-Christians. Just as I also try to please everyone in everything, not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." We are not Jesus. We are not the hero. And yet we're called to imitate our hero, to represent him well, to embody his love and kindness to the people around us, and to seek their good before our own good. And that's exactly what Joseph does in this story. It's easy to miss, but Pharaoh was deeply distressed by these dreams. He is desperate for an answer. And Pharaoh, being this godlike figure, this idol, he's anti-God. It would have made sense and be logical to say, "I'm not going to interpret your dreams. I am not serving you because you are not God." But Joseph shows him kindness in his distress, just as God has shown Joseph kindness in his distress. And even when Joseph is promoted to the top of Egypt with only Pharaoh above him, he doesn't sit back or use his power for his own gain. In verses 46 to 49, it shows us that Joseph left Pharaoh's presence. He ditched palace life and got dirty, being the one traveling throughout Egypt, gathering, it says, excess food. Excess food. Not the best and first from people. Not, you know, he's the ruler. He could take that. He could have done that. He didn't do that. He scrapped and he scraped for food for this nation. And he stored it. He served the people of Egypt. It's amazing. And when people came to buy grain at the end of our passage in verses 56 to 57, he sold them grain. Yeah, of course he sold them grain, but he could have been selfish with it. He could have charged a high price. He could have made a profit. It wasn't about his own gain, though. It was about others' good. You get this sense that no one was turned away. Poor people begging for food with little money went away with food for their families, their towns and countries. So like Joseph, let's use our wealth, our power or our influence, not for ourselves, not to make sure that Lee Zadro's life is going well, not to make sure that your life is going well, but for the good of others, and especially those who are in distress. And so it's worth just stopping and thinking through what we have to offer. What have we got to offer? Because to a culture who valued dreams and a culture that needed food, Joseph was given the skills to interpret dreams and provide food. In an area like North Epping that so values community, let's keep pumping out the meals. Let's keep doing car washes and cinema nights and good deeds in our community. Our culture is time poor and starved of meaningful relationships. Maybe you can offer your time and friendship. Maybe you could work less days, do less, and free yourself up for others. Maybe you could free yourself up to help refugees, to a culture that struggles to listen to each other. Maybe you could be that listening presence, not be the one who imparts all your wisdom. You might know that my wife Bryony and I are really passionate about foster care. There are about 15,000 children in New South Wales in the out-of-home care system in New South Wales. There are so many children in need of a family to love them. This is a huge need in our society and an opportunity before us as Christians who ourselves have been adopted into God's family. Could you use your home? Could you open up your family for a child who doesn't have one? God's plan is to bless the people he made and loves, and he has done that ultimately through Jesus. But whoever you are, you have a role to play. You have a role to play. First and foremost, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to the endless store of God's love and grace? Are you feasting on the eternal peace and rest that truly satisfy the deepest longings of your soul? If you have, you have a role to play. Tell the rest of this hungry world that you've found bread, that Jesus is the bread of life. And be a blessing to this world. Embody Jesus' love and kindness, forgiveness and generosity to those around you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your love and kindness, your forgiveness and your generosity to us. And I especially pray, God, if there are people here today or listening on the live stream who have not come to you, that they would feel prompted to do so. I pray that this is what our lives would be about, not about ourselves, not about our own comforts. It'd be about helping others find you, being a blessing to others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.